Morning. Today's daf in Shabbos Ayin Vav. We are in the top of Ayin Vav Manalv. We're beginning with the Mishnah Hamotzi Tevin. We are finishing up this morning, this seventh parak of the Masechta. Over the course of the seventh parak of the Masechta, we started with the very basics regarding Chil Shabbos and Malachas. So we introduced ourselves in the beginning of this parak to the idea of being Mechalal Shabbos B'Shogeg, and three different categories in terms of which a person will be bringing a carbon chatas, one carbon chatas for multiple violations and violating multiple malachos. And then categories two and three, a person violates Shabbos repeatedly. His shogig was that he forgot that day was Shabbos, and a person who violates multiple malachos. And that opened up the discussion of the perek in terms of a understanding of the idea of malachos. We introduce ourselves to the idea of chiluk malachos, that each of the malachos are separated regarding carbon chatas. You violate multiple malachos, you're going to be subject to multiple carbon chatos. And then on Ayin Gimel, the center of this parak, we introduce ourselves to the 39 malachos. 39 malachos of Shabbos that are platformed on the Mishkan. Whatever was considered an activity in terms of being in HaMishkan is going to serve as an Av Malacha. We understood the concept of Avos and Tolados. That was briefly introduced to us also within this parak as well. And then the Gemara discussed the Avos Malachos in some detail. Not much, but in some detail. With that stated, we also learned the second klal. And this this brings us to yesterday's daf. Second klal that we learned in this parak is the idea of Hotzah and Shiurim. When I carry something on Shabbos, it has to be a requisite amount. What is the requisite amount? Well, it depends on its significance. Yesterday, we spoke in overarching generalities. We spoke about the idea that it has to be something which qualitatively is significant, is utility towards people, right? That's the Rashi that we saw yesterday in the Mishnah, Tzorach Adam. So it has to be qualitatively significant, and it also has to be quantity as well. Umatznin kamohu. That the average person would feel that this is a significant amount, in that if you take it out, one is going to therefore be liable for carrying on Shabbos. And then yesterday we also saw a couple of other Tanaim that are not mentioned in the Mishnah. The Tanaim of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, who have disagreements in terms of what if something was significant for somebody else. In terms of Rabbi Shimon Shita that we briefly saw yesterday, the shear is only going to be significant lematzniehem, only for the people who feel that they are significant. Meaning, according to Rabbi Shimon, there's no such thing as a set amount, and everything is going to be subjective in nature in terms of establishing a shear. Our Mishnah does not subscribe to that viewpoint. And also, there was the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, a really interesting position, which clearly our mission does not subscribe to, and the idea that if it's significant for one person, so then he can transfer his significance to somebody else. Somebody else carries his item, so then that person who carries it is also going to be liable as well, and the idea of transferring significance from one person to another. Certainly an interesting idea, but one, again, that the mission does not subscribe to. With all that stated, now we are going to get into the details. Meaning we're going to go over various items and describe what the shear is. Meaning there is an absolute threshold. That is what the Mishnah taught us yesterday. And so therefore what we're going to be learning are the absolute thresholds of all the various shearim. And so over the course of today's daf, shorter daf, and also in the upcoming parak, in the eighth parak of the Masechta, so we're going to be detailing exactly what is the shearim for all these items. These shearim, where are they coming from? So the easiest way to say is Halach L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. Although, we know that throughout Shas, whenever describing a shear, so it's predicated on Halach L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, it's just simply an oral transmission that was given from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu. That is typically how the Gemara discussed the shearim. The Gemara in the beginning of Sukkah, Daf Zayin, I think, the Gemara over there says that when it comes to all shearim, it's Halach L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. So over here, it could simply be explained as Halach L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. I will show you a Rashi later today, where Rashi seems to indicate that it might be that the Chachamim are the ones in this case who set the Shiurim based on what is considered the average usage. Okay, hopefully I will point to that Rashi a little bit later on this morning. With all that stated, we're ready to begin the Mishnah. We're in Ayin Vav Amud Aleph, and here we go. Hamotzi Tevin, Kamala Pipara. So if you're taking out straw, now straw is animal food, and specifically that of the cow. And so therefore, if you take out an amount of straw on Shabbos that would fill the mouth of a cow, so that is going to be considered the quantity that one would be chayv. Obviously, anything more than that, one would be chayv. Anything less than that, that would not be a chiyuv d'araisa. Atzei, now I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it correctly, but it's not etzah. It is some sort of feed. The Gemara itself is going to describe what exactly it is, but kamolopi gamal. So that is being consumed by the camel. And so therefore, a mouthful for the camel is going to be considered a significant amount. The camel's mouth is larger than the cow's mouth, and so therefore, for this atzah, for the, whatever this feed is, so it has to be a larger quantity in order for one to be chayav. Amir over here is some sort of straw of the grain. Kamlo pitle. So that's going to be the mouthful of the sheep. Asavim grass. Kamlo pit gedi. That's going to be the mouth of the gedi. Aleishim ale betzalim. Leaves of garlic and leaves of an onion. Lachim if they are moist kegrogris. So the shear is going to be a grogris. We're going to hear that shear a lot over the course of the next couple of days. Grogris is the volume of a fig, and that is going to be typically the shear of food. We'll see that a little bit later this morning. As far as a grogris is concerned, the amount, or kigrogris, the amount of a fig, so that is going to be whenever it is you have a food that is subject to human consumption, so that is going to be the shear that one's going to be chayv. Our Mishnah is teaching us that the leaves of garlic and the leaves of onion, when they're moist, so they can be eaten by humans. Therefore, the shear is going to be a grogris. Yevashim. However, once these leaves become dry, no longer edible by humans, kamala pigidi, so it's going to be the mouth of a goat. They're not going to combine with one another, meaning if I take amounts of each less than the shear, but nevertheless the aggregate total is going to be greater than the shear, so the Mishnah is telling us that they're not going to combine because the shear are not the same. And since the shear are not the same, they are going to be treated like totally separate entities, therefore not having the ability to combine. We are starting with the Gemara Mai Atzei. The Gemara's question, first and foremost, is what does that say? Whenever the Gemara does not know a word that is used in the Mishnah, so immediately the Gemara seeks clarification. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Tevin Shalmine Kidneys. So it's some sort of grain of beans. Okay, so it's a feed that is used for the camel. Kiyasa Rabdimi Amar Mosi Tevin Kamala Pipara Legamal. So Rabdimi comes in from Eretz Yisrael and he presents Torah that was taught in Eretz Yisrael to the Bnei Bavel. This is a construct that the Gemara uses all the time. In fact, the way the construct works is that Rav Dimi comes in from Eretz Yisrael, gives one version. Usually he's quoting Rav Yochanan. And then immediately following, you have Ravin coming in from Eretz Yisrael and gives a slightly different version. That's generally how the construct works. Here in our Gemara, it's going to follow the general construct. So Rav Dimi comes in from Eretz Yisrael, and he says that if one were to carry a straw that is equivalent to the mouth of a cow, but the reason why he's bringing the straw is so that a camel will eat it. Now, obviously, the camel has a larger mouth. And so, therefore, the question now becomes, he is bringing straw of the requisite amount. It just happens to be that he's looking to feed a camel, and it's not going to be enough for a camel. Rav Yochanan Amar Chayv, Rav Shimon Lakish Amar Pater. So, debate whether or not this carries with it a liability or not. So, Rav Yochanan is of the opinion that you'd be Chayv. And if you think about Rav Yochanan's position, it does seem to make sense. In that, it is the shear. Meaning the Chachamim established that when it comes to straw, it has to be melo pi para, and you are in fact carrying that amount. It happens to be that you're looking to feed a camel. But, sounds pretty clear, there is a shear. You have matched that shear, you're going to be chayiv. So that's Rav Yochanan's position. Now, be'ortam Rav Yochanan hachi, now in the previous night, this was Rav Yochanan's opinion. Letzafra hadarbe. But the next morning, so he retracted from his position. I'm Rav Yosef Shaper Avid Dahadar. Now Rav Yosef, a later Amora, now is commenting and he says, Rav Yochanan did good by retracting. Dahalo Chazila Gamal. Because even though, yes, it's true, he's bringing a cow's mouth worth of the straw, but he's bringing it for the camel. And it's insufficient for a camel. And so Rav Yochanan was wise, says Rav Yosef, to retract from his position and to side with Reish Lakish and that one is going to be Pater. So Amalei Abai Adaraba, Kedemi Kar Mistabra, Abai says, no, wait one second. I think that Rav Yochanan's original position is the one that is most Mistabra, the Hachazil Apara, because the Chachamim outlined what the shear is going to be. The shear is Melo Pipara. if the shear is in fact malo pi para, and you're bringing that amount, so you're going to be chayav. The fact that you're looking to feed a camel, okay, that is circumstantial, but you have carried the requisite shear. You're going to be chayav. So as far as Abai is concerned, no, we have Rav Yochanan in his original position well understood. In fact, if anything, it's difficult to understand Reish Lakish's position, that one would be putter just be simply because in his mind, well, I'm not looking to feed a cow, I'm looking to feed a camel, it's not going to be enough for a camel. Okay, that's fine, but you have carried the shear. So Eliki also Rabban Amar, so Rabban comes in from Eretz Yisrael, and he has a different version of how this debate went. Amar, Amosi Tevin Kamlo Pipara, Ligamal, so we start with the same scenario. You're carrying a cow's mouth worth of straw. You're looking to feed a camel. Dekule amalo pligi dechayev. So in Rabban's version, everyone's in agreement that you'd be chayev. And again, the argument that we just gave. You carried the shear. The fact that you're bringing it for a camel is inconsequential. You carried the shear. Ki pligi bemotzi atzei kemlo pipara. Lipara. So over here, let's talk about the second feed being described in the Mishnah. Right, what the Gemara just identified as the feed, as the grains or the straw of the bean. Let's just call it atzei. It'll just be easier for me to communicate this. So you bring the atzei, which is normally camel fodder, and you bring it, and you bring a cow's mouth, cowful's mouth of the atzei, and you bring it for a cow. And the Gemara now wants to know what would be the halacha over here. Would one be chayv or not be chayv? Now, typically, the atzei is used to feed the camel. It happens to be that you're going to try to feed it to a cow. And in a moment, the Gemara is about to tell us, is the cow going to take to it? Push comes to shove. If the cow is good and hungry, the cow is going to take to it. But this is not the cow's favorite feed. Okay, but nevertheless, you're bringing it for a cow. And how much are you bringing of it? You're bringing only enough to provide one mouthful for the cow. So it's less than the requisite shear. However, the mitigating factor over here is that I'm looking to feed a cow. What would be the halakha over here? Would one be chayv? Can the shear change, so to say? Now, this is going to be a debate between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, but in the opposite, meaning previously Rav Yochanan was machmir, here he's going to be mekel. Rav Yochanan amar pata, Reish Lakish amar chayv. So here we have now the debate, Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rav Yochanan says that such an individual will be pata, and Reish Lakish says you'd be chayv. Rav Yochanan amar pater, achila yidei chak lo shmei achila. Now Rav Yochanan says, look, it's true that the cow is going to eat it, but only really under duress. The cow, this is not what the cow is really interested in. And as a result of that, this is not really qualifies an achila. The Gemara describes it as achila al yidei adchak. The cow will eat it, but uncomfortably. And as a result of that, we can't qualify this as achila. And therefore, the cow cannot set what the measurement is. We default back to the measurement of the camel's mouth, and you're not bringing that much. Therefore, one is going to be putter. Now, Reish Lakish says that, no, you'd be chayef. Why? Because the cow eventually will eat it. Yes, not comfortably, but the cow is going to eat it. And how much of this atzei did you bring? You brought enough to feed a cow. And so, therefore, it is considered an achila. Therefore, you'd be chayef. It's fine, so the machlokes between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan still presents itself, but in the second viewpoint, in the second version, in an alternative discussion. In the original discussion where I'm bringing the straw for a camel, and I'm bringing enough to feed a cow, the mouth of the cow, so there is no argument. Since you carried the requisite amount, you're going to be chayef. Here, I'm not carrying the requisite amount, but it's still going to be enough to feed a cow, and I'm actually looking to feed a cow. So a debate between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, the cow would eat it, admittedly under duress, and so a question becomes now, does this qualify as eating? And therefore, would one be chayav? Continuing the Gemara, Amir Kamlo Pitle, Vatanya Kegrogris. Now, in terms of the Amir, right, the straw of grain that we described in our Mishnah, so it's Kamlo Pitle, the mouthful of a sheep. Now, the Gemara says, Vatanya, we learned in the Braisa Kegrogris, that when you carry out the Amir on Shabbos, so the amount is a grogris. Now that's not like our Mishnah. So idavidi chashiruhu. The Gemara says very simply, yeah, it's the same shear. Meaning the Mishnah is describing it one way, the Brice is describing it another way, but in terms of volume, it's equivalent. A grogris is the same size as emlopitle. It's good to know that the amount that we can hold in our mouth is going to be the same amount as a sheep. If that's true, why wouldn't the Mishnah just simply say grogris when it comes to the amir? So Tosus over here says, Tosus divra maskal idvi dechachiruhu. If the Mishnah would have said grogris, so it's true we would have gotten the volume right, but we wouldn't have understood why. Meaning, why is it that when you carry the amir, it's straw? It's straw for sheep. So when you carry the amir, you're going to be chayv. If the Mishnah would have said the word grogris, well, I would have defaulted and said, well, grogris is generally a term that we use for human consumption. And I might have thought that the reason why there's liability when it comes to the grogris is because it's subject to human consumption. So therefore, the Chachamim wanted to make sure that we knew, that we understood, that the issue is not that it's subject to human consumption, but rather it is eaten by the sheep, and that's why the Mishnah says malo plitle, even though that's the same thing as saying kegrogris. So if it were just for the, if the Mishnah would have said the word grogris, we would have known the amount, but we wouldn't have known why. And so what the Mishnah is telling us is why. I mentioned in the beginning of Shir today, I'm going to quote a Rashi, so I take it back, I'm going to quote a Tosos. Okay, it was Tosos who says it. But if you look in this Tosos, and you look at the wording of Tosos carefully, he writes as follows, it's a short Tosos. It's because it's eaten by a sheep that the Chachamim gave it this shear. Reading the words of Tosos carefully, it certainly sounds like from Tosos that these shiurim were set by the Chachamim. Meaning, again, the easiest way to say all these shiurim is halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. From Tosos over here, it seems that we catch Tosos saying that these particular shiurim are instituted by the Chachamim. Okay, I could be making more of Tosos than what he says, but certainly that is the words of Tosos. We continue back to the Gemara. Aleishem alei betzalim lachim kegrogris v'yaveshim kemelo pi hagedi. Ve'im estarfen zem zem imnei shelo shavu shiurim. And then we get to the last point of the Mishnah, which is the idea that if I take amounts of these items that are mentioned in the Mishnah, less than the requisite shear, but I add them together, so they do not add together. It cannot take the aggregate total and say that you're going to be chayav, because since the shear of these items are different, so therefore they are all considered separate entities, separate identities, and they cannot combine in shear. I'm Rav Yosef Rabbi Chanin, I'm mitzar from the Chamor Shebahem, Ava mitzar from the Kal Shebahem. So Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanin qualifies our Mishnah. It's not absolute that they don't combine. They do sometimes combine. They will combine for the kal, but they will not combine for the chamor. Now over here, when we're describing chamor and describing the kal, the stringent and the lenient, so over here you have to think in the following manner: which one of these shiurim are lenient? Which one of them are more strict? So Rashi explains over here that the ones that are more lenient are the ones that require you to carry more. Meaning the fact that you have to carry more of it is a leniency, because one will not arrive at a violation of Shabbos until he carries a lot of it. So kal over here means that you have to carry a lot of it. On the other hand, chamor in our discussion means that I don't have to carry so much of it. I can carry a little bit of it, I'm still going to be chayav. So let's take the first two examples of the Mishnah. We talked about tevin, we talked about eitzah. Tevin is for the cow of the mouth. Eitzah is for the cow of the camel. So of these two, which is chamor and which is kal? So that which is the tevin is chamor, because I don't need so much of it in order to be chayav. And the atzei, so there you're going to be, that's going to be considered kal, because I need a lot more of it in order to be chayav. So what Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina is saying in modification of our Mishnah is that, let's say I took a little bit of the chamor and I added to the kal. So there it will be mitzarif. But if I take some of the kal and add it to the chamor, it won't be mitzarif. Now, if you think about it, again, trying to process this point of the Gemara. So what the Gemara is basically saying is the fact that it requires a smaller shear, it gives a certain amount of potency. And the idea is if I take something that has more strength, more power to it, and add it to something which is weaker, well, if it has more potency, and it's going to create a chiv even at a smaller shear. So certainly it can add to a something that is not as potent. On the other hand, if I take something with less potency and try to add it to something to more potency, it's not going to give it any kind of strength or power. That's the basic idea of the Gemara. It's a little bit difficult for at least me to comprehend, because if these foods are in fact tailor-made for these particular animals, it's challenging then to understand, even though one is Kal and one's Chamor, still, how do they combine that all? But nevertheless, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina's position is recorded, and there is no pushback. V'chol delosha v'bishurei mi mitzarf, and the Gemara now continues and says, wait one second. Just because something is not equivalent in shear, so do you mean to tell me that they combine? V'hatzana. Now the Gemara now quotes the Mishnah. The Mishnah in Kalim, we've seen this Mishnah or versions of this Mishnah before. We'll see it again. So we are describing now the minimum amount of various fabrics in order for it to be susceptible to tumma. Habegah, when it comes to something made out of wool, linen, gimel, gimel. So the amount, the smallest amount that is significant is 3x3 tefachim. Ve'asak dalav al dalav. Now when it comes to something made out of goat's hair, 4x4. Ve'or, if it's a hide from an animal, hay al hay, 5x5. Mapat, if it is a mat made of reeds, vav al vav, 6x6. Utni Allah. Now, that's the Mishnah. Here comes the Braisa. Habeg v'asak v'asak v'or ha'or v'amapetz mitstarfim ze'im ze'. They combine one with the other. Now, the Amar Rabbi Shimon Matam. Now, why is it? So if I take a small swatch of the goat hair and a small swatch of the beged, and even though neither of them by themselves has a requisite shear, but I combine them, they are combinable to the point now where it will arrive at a requisite shear. Now, why should that be? Rabbi Shimon gives the following explanation. Because there is something universal that connects them. And that's Tumas Moshev. Tumas Moshev, also known as Tumas Medrash. When a Zav sits on something, so the transmission of Tumah goes directly from him to the item he sits on. As we've discussed time and again, the transmission does not drop off a level. Just like he's an avatama, the item he sits on is going to be an avatama as well. And when you sit on something, you don't need a lot to sit on, right? Rashi over here says, simply a tefach by a tefach of any material is going to be significant enough where it is going to be susceptible to tumas medrash. So since each one of these different fabrics, these different materials, are eligible to become subject to tumas medrash at the shear of a tefach by tefach, so you see that there is something that is universal for all these different materials. And since they all share this halacha together, so therefore they are going to combine in other places as well. Meaning when not describing tumas medrash and describing just standard tumma, where each one of them has their own shear, but because they share this quality of tumas medrash, and as Rashi notes, and also the same shear of tefach by tefach when it comes to tumas medrash, so therefore when it comes to their respective shiurim, so they can combine. So if I take a little bit of this and a little bit of this and put them together, they will in fact combine to get to a requisite shear. Now the only reason why they combine is because they have this universal connection of Tumas Medrash. And the Gemara now makes exactly that point. The only reason why they can combine is because they have this universal connection of Tumas Medrash. Otherwise they wouldn't combine. Over here, however, when it comes to the various feeds, so there is no universal connection. And therefore, they shouldn't combine at all. And Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Chanina just taught us that they do combine on a limited basis. In other words, you can take the chamor and put it together with the cow, and you're going to get to a shear. They will combine on a limited basis, but we just learned together that under certain circumstances, they combine. And the Gemara says, but I don't understand. There is no universal connector connecting them like we find regarding the various materials and tumas and the tumma of begadim. So the Gemara's response is, Amar Ravas, we turn to the Amud Beis, Hachana Michazi L'Dugma. So the Gemara says, even by the thieves there are universal connection, and that is when the sellers sell them and he's showing off samples. Rashi describes over here that somebody who's selling these various feeds, so what he's going to do is he's going to bring samples. He's not going to bring the entire bag. The bags are home at the in the warehouse. So, but he's going to bring these little sample bags. Now, in these sample bags, Rashi describes, he's putting them out in the window of his store. And the sample bags are going to be composite of all the various feeds that he has. The sample bags are really small. They're less than the requisite shear. And because they're such small amounts, so what the seller is going to do is he's going to put them all in one bag. And so therefore, the sample bag that's used by the seller is going to be a composition of all these various feeds. And so therefore, there is universal connection. And that, the Gemara says, is enough to create enough connective tissue so that at least now we can understand how they can combine in shiurim. It is admittedly, again, it's just a slightly difficult Gemara to understand, because previously the connective tissue when it comes to Tumah is that they do share a halacha of Tumah. Over here, this is not a halacha, this is just simply commercial practice. These were what sellers do in terms of selling them. They sometimes sell them when they're put together, and that is going to be enough to connect them. It's not a halacha, it's just simply, this is the practice of various sellers. Okay, so it's not as clearly connecting them as we saw regarding the Tumah of Begadim. We're in the Mishnah on the top of Ayin Vav Amud Beis, last Mishnah of the Perek. Hamotzi Ochlim Kegorbers, if you take out food over here meaning food that is consumable by a human. So then Kegorbers, so the shear is going to be that of a Grogers, that of a dried fig. Chayev, and if one were to carry that on Shabbos from one domain to another, one would be subject to violating the Malacha of Hotzah. Now you could take any foods and combine them to get to the shear of a grogris, because once the shearim are the same, so then they're combinable. Now, what part of the foods, however, do not add to the shear? Not the shell, not the pit, not the stem, and not the bran that surrounds the kernel. The suban umorsan, or two different types of coverings, right? One's a coarser bran, the other is a finer bran. But either way, these are not considered part of the food, and therefore they do not combine to make it to the shear. Rabbi Yehuda Omer chutz miklipa adashim shemis bashlos imahem. Rabbi Yehuda knows that the exception is going to be the shells of lentils that are cooked together with the lentils. They're soft, they're consumable, and so therefore they would in fact combine with the lentils to get you to the requisite shear of a grogris. The Gemara's question immediately: Subanu Marsan Lo Mitzarfin. What about the bran that goes around the kernels? You mean to tell me they don't combine? Vatanan a Mishnah, Mishnah Chalach, Hameshes Ravayim Kemech Vaod Chayavim Bechala. If I have 1 1/4, otherwise known as 5/4, plus a little bit more, and earlier in the Masechta we went over the numbers in terms of how we got to that number. But anyway, if I have a certain amount of flour, so then chayav mechala, so then there's a mitzvah of hafreshos chala. And in terms of the flour hain, v'subanu morsan, morsanan. And when we're talking about the flour, we're talking about even the bran that comes along together with it as well. So vis-a-vis the halachas of chala, what can be added in order to get to the shear, the requisite shear for chala? So it could be not only the kernel of the grain, but the bran as well. It's very clear from that Mishnah chala. And so over here, our Mishnah says that the bran is not included when getting to the shear of Chilul Shabbos of Otzah. Meanwhile, the Mishnah Chala says it is combined. So we have what's called a stira. Amar Abaye Shekein Ani Ochel Piso B'Isa Belusa. So the Gemara says that what we're trying to do is compare the halachas of Hafreshos Chala and the halachas of Otzah on Shabbos. And the Gemara says you can't compare them. When it comes to the halachas of Chala, we're looking at bread and what is considered eaten by the bread. So when it comes to bread, so people eat the kernel, and the aniyim and the poor people eat the bran as well. It's funny, nowadays it's a big deal to eat the bran. Eating whole grain wheat, nowadays is this exciting phenomena. Back in the time of the Gemara, so the bran was always taken off. But anyway, but not always. The poor people will eat the bran. And so as a result of that, therefore, when it comes to the mitzvah of Hafreshos Chala, so they will determine that it's considered part and parcel of the bread, even though a lot of people don't eat it, but some people do eat it, they eat the bran, and so therefore, vis-a-vis the Hafreshos Chala, it's considered part and parcel of the bread, and it will get you to the shear. Over here, we're talking about what is considered a significant amount, meaning we go back to the Mishnah that we learned in yesterday's daf. Right, klal acher amru, kol akashla tzniyam umatznim kamohu. We have to look at what the average person is going to be carrying, what the average person qualifies as significant. that's going to set the benchmark in terms of what is considered a shear vis-a-vis Chilul Shabbos. So basically, the Gemara says the two halachas cannot be compared, and that is going to be the distinction. Continuing in the Gemara, Adashim ain pulin lo. Now, in terms of what is going to, which shells are in fact included, so we just learned together that the shells of the lentils are in fact eaten, and therefore going to be included to the shear. But not pulin. Not pulin is some sort of other type of bean. That time the Gemara notes, however, we have a brayser, Rabbi Yehuda Amar chutz miklipi pulin va'adashim. Now in the brayser, Rabbi Yehuda says that the shells of the lentils and of these beans are going to be mitzarev because they're both consumable. And so it's a discrepancy between the Mishnah and the brayser. The Mishnah has Rabbi Yehuda only excluding the shells of the lentils, meaning the shells are consumable and therefore will combine. In the Braisa, we have Rabbi Yehuda saying it's true by the shells of lentils and also by the shells of pulin as well. Lokasha habechadati habatiki. So the Gemara says it depends whether it's fresh or whether it's old. Atiki my time alo. Now when it comes to the older shells, why not? I'm Rabbi Abam and Mishanira kizvuvim bekara. Because even though they are older shells and they are in fact edible, but they just simply do not present well. In fact, the Gemara says they look like little buds. And so therefore, when they're put onto when they're older and black, and they're put on the plate, so they look like little bugs, they're perfectly fine, it's halachically totally acceptable to eat, it's just unappetizing. And so people typically don't eat it, and so again, as we've now described a number of times, when describing chashivas regarding what is Chilul Shabbos, so it's going to be based on what the average perception is of this item. Since people are not going to be appealing to eating the older shells of the pulin, so therefore it does not contribute. It's not going to. It will not get you to the shear of a grogris. Hadron alach klagado. That is the end of the seventh parak. And now we're going to seamlessly transfer over to the eighth parak. And in the eighth parak, topic remains the same. Start the Mishnah. Hamotzi yain kadeh mezigas hakos. Now, when taking out wine, it's going to be mezigas hakos, the amount of the dilution. We'll go to the ratios in just a moment when we get to the Gemara. But basically, what the Mishnah over here is doing is, it's kind of modifying the previous Mishnah. In the previous Mishnah, we said that when it comes to foods, ochlin, so the shear is always going to be a grogris. Now, that's true, but with exception. And now, this Mishnah is just going to give us the exceptions. It's a little bit funny that that this represents a new perek and it's broken up, or maybe I can ask the question a little bit differently. Meaning, why didn't this topic to start off the eighth perek? Why did the eighth perek start in yesterday's daf? Okay, not sure, but anyway, there really isn't a break in the action. It transitions seamlessly from the seventh perek to the eighth perek. When taking out wine, the amount that you are going to take out in order to be chayv, what's the shear for wine? It's going to be mezigas kos, the dilution of a normal cup of wine. I'll explain it in more detail when we get to the Gemara. Chalav, if one were to carry milk on Shabbos, kidei gemia, the amount that one would swallow in one mouthful. Dvash, as far as honey is concerned, kidei litain ala kasis. Person has a wound. Rashi says it could be a horse, could be a person, whatever. Let's go with person. A person has a wound, and honey back in the day was used as a salve to put on top of the wound. And so if you carry that much honey, that is going to be significant. Apparently, this was a very popular method of treating wounds, and so therefore one would be chai for carrying that much honey. Shemen oil, kidei lasuche v'katan, just to put enough on one small limb of the body. Maim kidei lasuche v'hemes akilor, when it comes to water, all you need is enough water in order to dissolve your eye salve. They had some sort of eye ointment that they used as the therapy, and the ointment of itself needed a little dilution, and so the amount of water, apparently back then this was a standard amount. The amount of water that was used in order to dissolve the eye ointment is the minimum shear that you need in order to be chayv for carrying the water. V'shar kol mashkim berevias. Now, when dealing with any other liquid, so far the liquids that we described in the Mishnah, wine, milk, honey, and oil, and water. So these are going to be all exceptions. What's the standard? What's the default? The default is a revius, a quarter of a loaf. Now, even if it's water that's not particularly pleasing, Shovchin is water that basically you're going to throw out of your house. Okay, so this water that is not appetizing, still the shear is going to be a revius. Rabbi Shimon Amar Kulam be revius v'lo nem recall ashirim halalu ela lamatzni ehem. Rabbi Shimon says that it's always going to be a revius by all liquids, and as far as the shear is concerned, the shear is only going to be significant for the people who feel that the shear is significant. Meaning, Rabbi Shimon's of the opinion that there is no such thing as absolute threshold. Everything is going to be dependent on the person himself and whether or not that person feels that it's significant. And Rashi explains over here within the Shita Rabbi Shimon. We mentioned Shita's Rabbi Shimon yesterday's daf. Now we're going over Shita's Rabbi Shimon again because now it's in the Mishnah itself. And Rashi writes over here, the last Rashi in the Mishnah, Lo nemr shirim shebe Mishnah ela lamatniyam levad. So when the person himself feels that this amount is significant, then and only then is that person going to be chayav. But for anybody else who feels that this is not significant, so for that other person, he's going to be chayav. Usvir le Rabbi Shimon de matznia atzmo by shira zuta ubebatzim mihashira lo mechayav kedarmina bepirkin delel. Even within the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, even though his position is that shiurim are subjective, but even the subjectivity of Rabbi Shimon has a minimum threshold. Rabbi Shimon still says that you have to carry some amount, but then even after you get to the minimum threshold, then it's going to be subjective depending on whether the person himself considers it to be chashuv or not to be considered chashuv. Again, the shita of Rabbi Shimon is not the one that's accepted la'alacha. The one that is accepted is the one that we're going over. The idea that there is absolute thresholds, meaning there is considered an average amount, and once you're counting the average amount, doesn't matter who you are, you're going to be chayav. Tana, we're going to start with the Gemara. Kedei mezigas kos yafe. So we talked about the dilution of the wine. So the Gemara says it's got to be kos yafe, good cup. My kos yafe, koshal bracha. When we say a good cup, what are we describing? So we're describing a cup of wine that we would use to make a bracha over. Rashi over here gives the example of benching. So when one benches over a cup of wine. Now I know Minhag Yisrael is not to bench over a cup of wine. Shabbos, when there's a collection of people over there, so then yesh v'yesh, some people do bench over a cup of wine, some people don't. How do we arrive at such a discrepancy in halacha? Because the halacha itself is somewhat unclear. But anyway, let's just say it simply. You bench over a cup of wine, right? As per the seventh parak of brachos, which we learned together. So the how much wine do you need to bench over? So it has to be a revius. It has to be a quarter of a loaf. And the back in the day, we've discussed this time and again, their wines were extraordinarily potent, almost syrupy in nature. And in order to get to a cup of wine, so what you're going to do is that you're going to be taking a composite of water and wine. And the ratio, as we're going to see right now, is going to be three parts water, one part wine. And so what the Gemara says is, how much wine does one need to carry on Shabbos? So it's going to be enough, and that when it's diluted, it will get to a quarter of a loaf. So now putting all of our math skills together, so how much now of the actual wine needs to be carried on Shabbos in order to be chayiv? So it's going to be a quarter of a loaf. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Avaravu, Koshal Bracha Tzarech Shiebo, Rova Revius. That's the Gemara's next point. So it's got to be a quarter of a quarter, Kedei Shiim Zigenu, so that when you do Meziga, when you do dilute, Yamod Al Revius, it will get to a Revius. Amar Rav Afad Nami Tanina, as we turn to the top of Ayin Zayin Amad Aleph, we learned the same thing as well. Amot Yayin Kedei Mezigas Kos. So how much wine does one need to transport on Shabbos? It's going to be Mezigas Kos. Utani Alana, and that we learned to the Brisa, Kedei Mezigas Kos Yafe. The Ketani Seifa, now in the end of the Mishnah, Shar Kol Amashkin Revius. And that when it comes to all other liquids, it's going to be a revius. So in other words, contrast. The idea is that when it comes to all other liquids, it's a revius. When it comes to wine, you only need a quarter of that. Because wine typically back in the day was diluted. And it was three parts of water to one part wine. And so to get to a total of a revius, which means that the amount of wine is going to be a quarter of that, a revius of a loaf. And so therefore, when it comes to wine, you only need a fraction of the wine to take out. Certainly sounds like from the Gemara's discussion that you don't have to dilute it to be chayav. Meaning, if I took out the concentrated wine in of itself, one would be chai for karen. That would be the simple reading of the Gemara. Whether that is correct, actually, is subject to a debate. Let's quickly recap our daf. This morning we started with the Mishnah 9, Vavam and Aleph. Now we get into the details of how much a person is going to carry in order to be chayav. Shiurim. These shiurim, as I explained in the beginning of today, probably halacha l'moshe misinai. Although I showed you a Tosfos this morning, where Tosfos does say that nasnu bo chachamim shiur. The chachamim are the ones who gave it the shiur. The Mishnah talked about various feeds for animals. It's going to be the feed that is specific to a particular animal, and a mouthful of that animal specific to its feed. That's what we learned in the Mishnah. And the Mishnah also said that the shiurim do not combine with one another because they don't share the same shiur. The Gemara's discussion was a discussion of, first and foremost, the Rabdimi Ravin construct, where they come in from Eretz Yisrael, and they told us that what Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish were debating. In the second version, which the Gemara seems to be more in favor of, in the second version they were debating the question of, if let's say I brought camel feed to a cow, and I brought it but less than the mouthful of a camel, only the mouthful of a cow. Would one be chayv, would one be pater? Debate between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Question is, the cow would eat it, but uncomfortably. Achila al yideh hadchak, whether that's considered achila or not. The other discussion we had this morning was tsiruf, combination. So when it comes to begadim and the various shirim that are given, so they do combine, but only because they have a universal connection, in that they do all share the same shir as it relates to Tumas Medras, one tefach by one tefach. However, over here, there should be no room for combination because these feeds don't have any kind of shared activity. And the Gemara says that's not true. They do have a shared activity when the seller sells it. The Mishnah, as we now go to the Amud Beis, reviewing the Amud Beis, if a person were to take out food, the shear is a grogris. What doesn't combine are going to be the non-edible parts of the grains and the fruits. Bran, the Gemara says that there's a distinction to be made between bran in terms of the halachas of shiur and bai hotza'ah versus bran as it relates to the shear of chala. And finally, and also the discussion within Rabbi Yehuda about the shells of the lentils, which he feels they are edible and therefore should be mitzarf to the shear. And finally, the last thing we did as we opened up the eighth parak this morning is we went over the various shear and four liquids. Five liquids mentioned that have specific shear because these liquids are significant at lesser amounts. Wine for the dilution, milk, just a cheekful, honey to put on the wound, oil to put on one small limb, and water to add to dilute the eye ointment. But generally speaking, when it comes to liquids, the shear is going to be a revius. And the Gemara's discussion over here is mezikas akos. When diluting, so the ratio is going to be three parts water to one part wine, and so therefore the amount of concentrated wine that one carry on Shabbos in order to be chayev only needs to be a quarter of a quarter of a loaf.